will be on. Steve, are you still on with us?
I certainly am.
Okay, that I heard a bleep, so I didn't know what was going on here.
Yeah, things went kind of quiet and dead for a minute, Sherry, but everything's fine now.
Okay, the music playing is Lonnie's Lament. It's by Anat Cohen, and it's from her 06 CD, Poetica, and it doesn't have a thing to do with the show tonight. I just think it's kind of laid-back music. What's going to happen here, I'm going to do some introductions, and I'm going to bring you in, Steve, to talk about your wonderful stuff.
Okay, and if your board op can pull up your sound and my sound, it would be wonderful.
They're probably listening on that end, but unless they're listening in, they can't hear us.
Okay.
Okay, for our listeners, you're listening to BBS Radio. This is Sound Health. I am your host, Sherry Edwards, for this next hour, and we're going to be talking about emergency and storable foods, our food supplies, and how we can prepare and protect our families from food shortages. Sound Health is brought to you by the Sound Health Research Institute and the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. On this show, we strive to bring information and ideas in support of the concept of self-health. And we do that by bringing you a variety of people who have your interests at heart. Today we're going to be talking to Mr. Steve Schenck. He is the director of the J. Michael Stevens Group, a company that has been the, I'm reading off of his brochure here, a company that has been the premier emergency and storage food organization for 25 years. We're going to be with him in just a minute. I just got a couple of announcements I got to read. The first one, the Sound Health Research Institute conducts experiments dealing with energy medicine, specifically the energy of the voice, like the frequencies of the voice. And we're using that as a diagnostic tool for the entire body. One of our products that's been the most rewarding is something called the Little Back Box. It's a series of analog sounds designed to massage and relax the muscles, the little multifida muscles that hold the spine. We've done lots of tests on this, and we know that it works. About 65% of adults have back pain, and this takes away a good 80% of that back pain. Actually, it takes away more than that, but that one person it doesn't take it away from drags down our statistics. And usually that one person is somebody that's had some kind of surgery on their back, so it doesn't work with surgery. If somebody's cut in on your back, this little back box won't work at all. And so there's lots of people out there who have back pain. It's the number one cause of missed work. So if you want to miss work and just because you need a day off, don't pay any attention to what I'm saying. But if you want to be free of back pain, and just check out our website about the little back box called N, just the letter N, voice, like talking, invoice.org, gives you lots of information and research, or you can call us at 740-698-9119 to talk about this very useful innovation to help you with your aching back. Okay, second and last announcement. As you know, we've been offering a free computer program, and people are getting back to us and saying, you know, we love the program, we love the little printout, but we'd like to know more. Can you teach us a class? And so we've set up a class for this program to teach you about the Nano Voice, N-A-N-O Voice. So any of you who've downloaded that Nano Voice, that totally free computer program that Don so graciously put on, up on the front of the BBS radio website, just get in touch with us and we'll put you in the class. Class is free. You could just call same phone number, 740-698-9119, and because we know our people love the email, you could email Kylie, K-Y-L-I-E, at vocalprofiling.com, and she can give you a time for the class that will fit into your schedule. We may just go ahead and record that like we do the preview class that a lot of you are looking at, so that you can just watch it at any time. Because people listen to this show across the world. BBS is wonderful that way. And really, there's no cost for this program. There's no cost for the training. And you can take a vocal print of your colleague and see if they're telling you the truth. You can watch people who are talking to you over the phone and see what they're really into, where their mind is. So get in touch with us. We'll put you in the class. And we'd just love to have you with us. We think that once you look at this, you'll be able to see that the voice gives you really valuable information about your being. And for those of you who didn't listen to Thursday's show, Vocal Profiling Live, we did an analysis of the presidential candidates and their running mates, and that was just awesome. We did that one live broadcast. So I don't know how that broadcast turned out, but if you want to see it, just get in touch with us. Okay, end of announcements, and let's talk to Mr. Stephen Schenck about his company, J. Michael Stephens Group. Mr. Schenck, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sherry. It's glad to be aboard.
Would you tell us a bit about your company?
Well, what we do, for the last, 27 years, we've been involved with putting together low-moisture, high-nutrition bulk foods that people can use immediately and or store. A lot of the folks that are attuned to what's going on worldwide and in the United States are putting in supplies of food just because there is, in fact, we are in the midst of the third year of a worldwide famine. The largest countries population-wise in the world, China and India have lost their crops. Heavy-duty rice shortages, that is reflected worldwide in rice shortages all over the world. And in the United States, we have rationing of wheat, flour, and we have rationing of rice in many parts of the country. There has been a great deal of conjecture as to what it would happen with regard to the 5 million acres that we lost in the flooding of the Midwest, the breadbasket of the country. Some of the media response is that there will be a bumper crop this year. Those of us who are at the supply end of the food chain, in other words, putting the food together and getting it to individuals and families, find it hard to imagine how we can have a bumper crop when initially going into this year, there was a projected drop of significant percentages in availability of food at the same time. Then all of a sudden the 5 million acres were pulled out, and huge, huge countries like India and China went on the world market trying to buy up every bit of food they possibly can, and also buying up land in any countries that are willing to sell them. The other thing that happened, Sherry, is that we have a tremendous amount of speculation where investors are actually buying up commodities, the food products that we use regularly, and holding them to be resold for high profit. And they are not keeping them within the United States. It used to be that the speculators really weren't involved. Commodities buyers were organizations and people who actually process the food, would buy the wheat, and then they'd grind it into flour and put it into the food chain within our country. Now that's all changed, and as a result of some regulations being changed, it's now possible for anybody to invest in your food. And so one of the things that we suggest is if other people are planning to make a lot of money investing in your food, you might want to invest in yourself sooner or later too. But what the company does is they put out quantities of food that has been dried down. It's low moisture food. It's all been dried from fresh raw, so you cook with it just like you do straight out of the garden. And the food is super high nutrition because it's a low heat process that's used, and it's bulk food, which most of your listeners, Sherry, will realize that if you go someplace and are able to buy bulk where you bypass all the packaging costs and several steps in the chain of distribution, oftentimes you can do pretty well. Families right now that are getting in touch with eFoodsDirect.com, which is the website for the J. Michael Stevens Group, that's eFoodsDirect.com, are able to put in supplies of food to be used right now or to store up for future times when the scarcity will be even more severe for about half the cost of last year's grocery prices. So it's absolutely phenomenal in terms of the cost savings for families and the ability that they have to be able to actually a little gal that's running her household, she might even be working a part-time or full-time just to keep the family going, by using low moisture, high nutrition, bulk food, she literally can add a very significant part-time or even more than part-time income to her family just through the savings in food. We're having a situation in this country. You know, everyone hears about gas and ethanol and turning our food into fuel and all that. What a lot of people don't realize is that those issues are very severe from the standpoint that the farmers that are growing our food are unable to afford the fuel that it takes to plant the seeds, cultivate the seeds, harvest the seeds, and harvest the crops, and get them to market. The other thing is that corn, which is the primary source for feed for all of our livestock, is being bid up in price to the point where the farmers that want to or that need to have that corn bought for their livestock can't afford that either. And we've got the Department of Agriculture predicting significant increases in costs for all dairy products and meats and poultry. The fact is that what many people don't realize is going to be a continued increase in the price of groceries is actually going to continue marching forward, and it's going to increase to the point where more and more families aren't even able to buy their immediate groceries, let alone stock up for when the cost will be so severe that no one will be able to afford it. The other thing that we're having experienced within the chain of distribution, Walmart, for example, in our area, we talked to one of the Walmart managers, and they have about three full pages of listed items that they used to be handling that they do not handle anymore. And what that indicates is that the shortages are not being reflected in what's on the shelves. For example, when we do seminars and lectures that, by the way, many of your listeners can actually listen to some of those seminars, some of the radio programs that we do, if they get up on eFoodsDirect.com. And for those folks who are not computer savvy, we can send them out some packets that have a couple of CDs that have several of the seminars that we've done that are extremely useful in bringing people up to speed as to what's going on. If they'll call 800-409-5633, that's 800-409-5633. And what's happening that people don't realize, a lot of times when we say, hey, there's a food shortage and it's worldwide and it's here in the United States and hundreds and thousands of families every single day are being eliminated from the capacity to be able to afford their groceries. We have homeless cities where cities have actually set aside
I don't know what that was. Hello? Sorry about that interruption. Somebody is doing weird things with the phone. Steve, are you still there? Don, Steve, our guest is gone.
Houston, we have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue, they starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
BBSradio.com, the number one internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Spider Turner, and you can buy my music at cdbaby.com. Pick me up, check me out. Ah, yeah, BBSradio.com.
Okay, we're back, and I'm going to ask Steve a question. You mentioned a little bit ago about rationing. I haven't heard that anything is being rationed. You said wheat and rice. How does this rationing show up?
In Costco, Walmart, Costco primarily, out on the West Coast, what's happening is that the stores are limiting the amount of rice that people can buy at a time and the amount of flour. Now, the flour rationing is more at the commercial level. The commercial bakeries have had flour rationed to them, and as a result, that's why you're seeing the huge jump in prices of bakery goods and anything that takes wheat flour.
It hasn't hit our side of the country, so we're not seeing that over here in Ohio.
Oh, I understand.
Most people think Ohio is a Midwestern state. Actually, we're only one state from the eastern border.
I know. I lived in Ohio for a while in your eastern time zone.
Oh, okay. Well, there's more shortages than stock market and crops. In your literature, you talked a lot about job loss, economic turndown, earthquakes, quarantines, erratic weather. So there's a lot of different reasons. It's just not a shortage of food, but a shortage of money to pay for food, even if you're looking for an economic turndown or your loss of your job, that kind of thing. So in different areas. And there was another announcement going on. The Natural Solutions Foundation predicted that there's going to be a pandemic between now and the end of November. And in that way, since they're saying that, they're going to let go, paranoid maybe, they're going to let go with all of these pathogens, and everyone is going to be ill, and who's going to know how their food is contaminated. So lots and lots of different reasons for people to be storing food. if people bought food from you, what would it look like?
Well, it would look just like you'd expect if you took a carrot and you chopped it into dices and then you dried it. It's all shriveled up and funny looking. The only difference between these foods and foods that have been, just cut straight out of the garden is that they have had the moisture removed down to about 2, maybe 3% moisture, which means that if there are any pathogens out there like the recent E. coli and some of the other contaminations that we've heard about, they cannot exist in this food. We made the statement, Sherry, about 5 years ago that unless families either grew their own food or stored it prior to the contamination, that there would come a time very shortly where they wouldn't be able to dare trust the food that was being provided for them. We're exactly there, and when you talk about the pandemic and about the potential for contamination of food, the people that don't like us very well on the other side of the world that we're fighting now, however you feel about that military action, the fact is that those folks have threatened to contaminate our food and contaminate our water, and this would be the most effective way to spread a pandemic short of some of the standard means that many of the people that are concerned about what's happening with some of the questionable issues involved with health and some of the possibilities and predictions of pandemics here in the country. Very simply, the most important thing that people can have is clean food, and that's one of the things that the dryness provides. It's impossible for any of these pathogens to be transmitted in food that has been dried down below 3% moisture. And the other thing is that when you open up that can, the peas will be all crinkly up, and there will be a lot of peas in the can because they're allowed to shrink down to allow the space that storage takes to be more efficient. You'll find that a one-year supply for two adults will fit in about the space that a normal refrigerator takes.
So this is in cans? Is it also in boxes? Is it in plastic bags?
No, it's all in number 10 cans. That's a little bit less than a gallon-sized can. And then those cans are packed 6 to a case. And there'd be it'd take about 15, 16 cases for a year's supply for one adult.
Okay. You were talking about food supply. Genetically modified wheat is really causing lots and lots of allergies. We're seeing lots of them in the clinic here. And one of the things they're doing to modify apples is they're taking the amylase out of the apples for better storage, and that also prevents the breakdown of the sugars, which is why we like apples. They're sweet, but the amylase helps break down the apple as we chew it. It releases it. So I don't think people, at least the people listening to BBS, trust anybody about their food supply. We're just kind of paranoid, and it leads up to my question. Do you suggest that people have window boxes and gardens and grow any of their own food they possibly can?
We tell people to grow all that they possibly can, but the problem is that they're not going to be able to grow enough, and they're not going to be able to do it soon enough. If you get any of the magazines, let me digress back to your comment about the genetically altered food. The various things that are being done to food to allow it to be preserved. In fact, one of the things that they're doing is they're putting ultraviolet ray protection, like sunscreen, on fruits to avoid sunspotting and avoid spoilage and cut back on the percentage of loss that they have. They're putting critter DNA into some of the plants in order to preserve them or to be insecticidal, and all of these things. Basically, what's happening is, for the example that you used, when they make that apple less capable of spoilage, they're also making it less capable of digestion. And there was an old advertisement back a long time ago where they were advertising butter as opposed to margarine because of the inroads that margarine made on the butter industry. And they had this gal in this flowing gown, and the lightning flashed, and the thunder broke, and she said, "Don't mess with Mother Nature."
I remember that commercial.
And I think that we very simply are endangering our lives. One of the things that JMS, J. Michael Stevens Group, is really appreciated for by the folks that are trying to protect their family's health and safety is that there isn't any genetically altered food allowed in this. There's no Chinese or Mexican imports allowed, and no MSG and all the things that make you glow in the dark, walk sideways, and one eye travel to the other side of your head. And so it's extremely important that even once people get in a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, even a 4 year supply of these foods, that they, whatever resources they have to take control of their own future and grow as much food as they possibly can. And back to the subject at hand, the problem is that most people, unless they're putting almost a full-time effort into growing their food, are not capable of putting in all that they need. The other thing is that they're not capable of storing it for periods of time longer than about 6 to 9 months in most cases. Canned goods and drying with home dryers and things. And the problem with that, Sherry, is that we know with the climatic changes worldwide, and particularly here in the United States, that there are going to be serious conditions that are becoming more and more severe where people will, unless they have greenhouses, not be able to just garden normally every year and have bumper crops. So what we suggest that they do is they put in a year, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever their conscience recommends. Most of the Christian folks are looking at the time during which the mark of the beast will be in place and looking at about 3.5 years that they're going to have their own food supplies. Otherwise, they'll stand in a bread line and be required to do whatever is required of being fed. But the fact is, if you look at Mother Earth News or any of the gardening and the homesteading periodicals, the people that write articles in there are pointing out the fact that it is a huge job yes, you can grow your own food, but the processing and preserving of it at best will go from the fall to the next growing season. And so in order to stock up on the remainder of the food that you can't grow yourself, and this is varying degrees, the garden box, you know, the window boxes and things like that will give a little bit. If people will get into sprouting, the nutritional value that comes from sprouted seeds is absolutely exquisite, and people can do it without any land or any facilities to grow a garden. It's extremely important. Put in a supply of seeds. Every one of the one-year supplies that that goes out from the warehouse has a four-gallon pail of a mixture of seeds that, when sprouted, will produce about a cup and a half of fresh green sprout salad a day for a year. And so one of the things that we tell folks is that once you have your supply in, to your comfort level, you must do your due diligence. You must study and determine roughly how many more years we're going to be in a deepening and more deepening famine. And like you mentioned, Sherry, the basic things are not noticeably short in most parts of our country. And what's going to happen is the distribution system is going to adjust and keep those shelves as full as possible for as long as they can, which will give people a false sense of security with regard to the fact that there is food there. And so it looks like those who are sounding the alarm are really not aware of what's happening. But very simply, there is a worldwide famine. The last two full growing seasons, the planet did not produce nearly enough food for its inhabitants to eat. So we've got starvation in a tremendous number of the third world countries. The United Nations has requested $1 billion in aid, and politically we could discuss that forever with regard to the strong feelings that people have antagonistically toward that concept. But the fact is that $1 billion and other aid dollars, since there is no country in the world that has any surplus, oftentimes will be coming from the United States, where we are also in a severe situation as far as food is concerned.
We have some questions coming in from our email listeners. That's their mode that they like. Let me give out the numbers if someone wants to call. The toll-free number for the U.S. is 877-876-5227. The number in Canada, this one also works in the U.S., 888-815-9756. There is a direct number, 530-876-3222. And if you forget all those, just go to bbsradio.com. We're on station one tonight, and all the numbers are listed right there. And for those of you who like to write to us, it's radio@localprofiling.com. And Steve, we have two questions that just came in. One of them is, I love your strawberries. I love dried strawberries. Are they in your kit? And really, that's a question that came in. It's odd, but it did.
Well, I love the dried strawberries, too. Unfortunately, the strawberries that they're probably referring to are freeze-dried. We discourage people from using freeze-dried because of the nutritional loss and the additives that have to be added back to those items. If you dehydrated the strawberries, even with a low moist or a low heat process, they would tend to, with all the seeds that they have, they would tend to get very, very hard to reconstitute. So I'm sure what your listener is referring to is freeze-dried, and for various reasons that we won't take the time to go into, we encourage people in their food supplies to put in the low heat dehydrated, and in fact we had a situation where one of the largest suppliers of freeze-dried food has completely shut down any distribution to the public because of some huge government contracts that have required them to ship their food solely to the military and through the year 2009. No, we don't carry the strawberries. We never have. It's possible to get strawberry-flavored apple flakes. We tend to avoid those just because we have to do everything we can to keep the cost effective for people.
The other question by the same listener was, do you have packages for people who have allergies to wheat and dairy?
That's extremely difficult. The number of people that have gluten allergies is growing. They say that in one way or another, Sherry, approximately 85% of the population has some sort of resistance or allergy to wheat or wheat gluten.
I think it's because they're modifying the wheat.
Well, that and a tremendous amount of the immune system is compromised as a result of the genetic alterations. A lot of the MSG that's being just pumped into everything, many of the food additives, preservatives, the genetic alteration, like we talked about before, it's all going to exacerbate the situation where we have food allergies just unprecedented in this country. The answer to the question is, if they will call us at 800-409-5633, we can go through and virtually build them a supply. It's very difficult. One of the answer is yes, we can do that. We we usually tell folks to put in the fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and the various other items that they need from the supply, and then we tell them to pick up wheat if they are so inclined in the local area where they're from. But the one unit is called the Liberty Unit. Literally does not have any of the foods combined. It's got, you know, peas are in one can, carrots are in another can, so there's nothing that has flour added to it. And so as a result, if they'll start with that and work with one of our people, they'll be able to build a good solid year's supply and build it around their needs for to avoid gluten and some of those things.
There's another question here. What do you think about irradiated foods that they're doing that come across state lines?
Well, I don't care about the state lines, but the irradiated foods are absolutely horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
Bad horrendous.
Oh, absolutely terrible. Any studies that they've done on animals that have been fed irradiated foods, the lifespan is severely shortened. They have they develop specific kinds of cancer. They have reproductive difficulties. I mean, just go down every facet of creature existence, and irradiation absolutely is terrifying. And the thing that's most terrifying, Sherry, is that now they're passing regulations and legislation so that they do not have to label it as irradiated. It's one thing to have the stuff there irradiated, and if people are smart enough to be concerned about their food supply, that they realize the extreme dangers and the horrendous implications to eating that stuff. It's one thing to be able to identify it, but to remove the labeling from it. And the other thing, right over next to that, is this cloning of meat and not identifying this stuff as cloned. It's just, I can't say enough adverse about irradiation in answer to your question. So please, folks, if you have any influence whatsoever, any contacts with people that are involved with the the Department of Agriculture and this type of thing, if you can write your congressman, please at least require these rascals to identify the irradiated food. And again, it's an economic issue. They're irradiating it, and they will tell you so that you don't get the E. coli and things. But let me ask you this. They're talking about leafy vegetables. Now, I'm going to get a little bit indelicate here, Sherry, but a couple years ago we had contamination of spinach in 20 states in this country as a result of E. coli contamination. Now, the only way that E. coli can occur is in the feces of animals. Spinach doesn't poop, very simply. And so the point is that this irradiation to supposedly kill the E. coli and other types of contamination is an argument that we're given. And most people, in their ignorance, will say, oh my goodness, that's okay. I sure don't want to get that stuff. But very simply, the real reason for it is just to cause the leafy vegetables and things like that not to deteriorate. We go back to the same thing where they eliminate the bacteria and things that cause it to deteriorate so that they can ship it longer, store it longer, and so they don't have economic loss as a result of producing food that's digestible for people. And it's just, you've hit a hot button here, and I won't go any further, but I think you get the sense of my attitude about the issue.
Yeah, we've got some soap boxes that you can climb on. This is good.
Stack them about five high, and I'll get up there and I'll talk about irradiated food and cloning, okay?
Yeah, we've got people working on we're against vaccinations and a lot of things that really destroy people's ability to even process good food. You know, we've got an email here that's very long, and I'm trying to read it and just kind of see what she's saying. I think what she's saying is, why can't people just take your food and live on it? Like, you know, throw these vegetables in a pot and make some soup.
That's what we're suggesting that they do. Very simply, we have always told people to store it, but now since so many people are unable to afford groceries, and with the ability to order in, this is food. This is real food. It's, you know, your potatoes and carrots and onions and milk and eggs and cheese and your fruits and your grains, and it's all good pure food. And if people will just cook and look up on the website, we've got bunches and bunches of recipes and instructions and all that kind of stuff. They literally can buy their food for half the cost of last year's groceries. And so the answer to that question is, for Pete's sake, if you have any hope at all of continuing to buy food, you must put this in, because the savings that you make on the food that you're eating right now will be enough to be able to help you to buy more food for next year, when the prices will have doubled again, and the next year when there may not even be food at any price. So yes, please use the stuff and put some ahead.
Steve, I can't imagine dehydrated cheese. What does that taste like? Ugh.
It's absolutely wonderful. It's powdered.
And how do you rehydrate it?
You can do a couple things. You can add, the directions on the can will tell you to add a little bit of cooking oil to put the oil, you know, to re-oilize it a little bit, and a little bit of moisture. And you stir that up, and you rehydrate it just a little bit, and you've got a sauce or a spread for sandwiches, a little bit more, and you've got a sauce for your various casseroles and anything else that you're making. It's one of the highest use items. It's one of the most flexible ones. The other one that goes right along with the cheese that is extremely valuable is tomato. This has all the seeds and everything removed from it, but it's a tomato powder. Add just a little bit of water and you got tomato paste, a little bit more and you got sauce and all the things you can make from it. You take those two items, and one of the things that most of our wives have concluded that cook with this regularly is you can cover all sorts of sins in cooking with tomato or cheese sauce.
Is this kind of like that astronaut ice cream that you buy at the mall?
No, it's not. The astronaut ice cream is freeze-dried. It's all puffy and light, and it's peculiar in that it's not cold and wet like what you expect. These foods, like, for example, if you took a dehydrated pea, it'd be shriveled down to about a third or a fourth of the size of a regular garden pea. When you read the directions on the can, it'll tell you to take out about a third of a cup of peas and two-thirds of a cup, and put them in two-thirds of a cup of water, and then you simmer them for just about the same length of time that you would a fresh garden pea, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And
they
they'll plump right up, and you can't tell the difference between those and peas that you got straight out of the garden.
Well, hold that thought for a minute. We got a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I can barely hear you. Can you speak up?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's a little better. You have a question for Steve?
Yeah, I just would like to know if he could repeat his website. And I had a question about what the life expectancy in storage of the food is. And if he could give some examples of prices.
Okay, the website, just the letter E, Foods Direct, that's foods is plural, I believe, direct.com.
E Foods Direct?
Yes, and Steve, would you repeat that phone number, the 800 number?
Yes, it's 800-409-5633.
The other question was cost.
The first question he asked was the shelf life. We tell folks to plan on at least 12 to 15 years of shelf life. The nutritional retention is about 92% of the food value that it had in the garden. And with regard to pricing, generally what we do is we build one of these units based on the same quantity of food and usually the same combination. You'll see carrots and peas and potatoes and green beans, that type of thing, and milk, cheese, eggs. They're built for the same quantity of food that the average adult would put in, and pretty close to the same combination of food, the same same varieties. And generally speaking, the average family or the average individual this last year would spend somewhere in the range of about $3,000 to $3,500 on groceries over the year. And to replace that quantity of groceries, it would be about half that. And here again, it depends a great deal on any adjustments and things that you make. But you'll be able to find pricing right up there on the website, listener. And it's always about half the cost of last year's groceries. And we find that families who are struggling with their grocery budget right now are able to actually eat better, more of a better quality of food for less money than anything else that they can do.
Is this Kevin on the line?
Yes, it is.
One of our regular listeners, Steve.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Kevin.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Steve, how do you tell people to preserve water? I mean, they've got all these food, but if the water's contaminated, when they rehydrate it, they're going to contaminate the food.
Well, we did have a little can. We had some cans that we made up, about 150 of, just for a kick, that was dehydrated water. and it has all sorts of instructions of what you can use it for. And all you have to do to use it is just add water. It's no problem at all. But in all seriousness, you cannot store a year's supply or 2 years' supply of water. But here's what you do. For emergencies, you must store up in water itself at least a month's worth of water, and that allows for a gallon a day for each adult equivalent in the family. So, for example, if you have a 50-gallon water heater, that will suffice for 50 gallons. You need to put in another 10 gallons. A lot of times, people will buy these 5-gallon water jugs from the companies that supply it, and put, you know, 5 or 6 of them ahead, and then use that water. We suggest that no one ever, ever, ever use tap water in this country. And then after you've gone through your emergency supply, you must have water treatment equipment. You must have water purifiers. We, up on the website, we have one that we suggest that is actually a water purifier. There's a difference, Sherry, between a water purifier and a water filter. The other thing is that you need to be aware of the need to pull out chlorine and fluorine, which is the cheap form of fluoride that most municipalities put in. There are filters that will do that. So investigate this very, very meticulously. But the fact is that you must have water treatment equipment, because you're absolutely right. If you put contaminated water into your food, you literally are accomplishing your own demise. It's just extremely important to have clean water.
We got lots of questions coming in on the email, and I had questions that I wanted.
Well, go ahead and ask.
Okay. Well, here's another question from online. How did you get started in this business? Who are your primary customers? Out of curiosity, what's the geographic distribution of them? And this is from Chris.
Okay, well, you can let Chris know, if he's listening, that we distribute all over the United States. We can distribute to Canada, although the Canadian government really puts a lot of fees on their own people, which is absolutely horrendous in my opinion. The typical customers are people that plan to eat.
Chris is asking this because he has an autistic son with a lot of food allergies, and he tries to give them the best food possible, and this might be a shortcut to him having to do lots of shopping and specialty stores and things like that if indeed your food is organic from special farms and no MSG and all these things that you're talking about, it might be easier for families of autistic kids to get their food this way.
It may be. Now, we are not totally organic, and here's the reason why. An awful lot of the organic food that's raised in the country since there has been a change in the definition of organic, and that was taken over by other than the people that were defining it before, is not all that wonderful. In fact, some of it is more dangerous than the non-organic. What we order from are suppliers that have what we call clean-grown food. With regard to specific hardcore allergies and difficulties, what we suggest, Chris, is that you may want to call in to a direct 800 number, which I'll give right now. The rest of you folks, please call in through our regular number, but for this specific type of thing, this can come to my office and I'll help work it through. We may be able to help, we may not, depending on the severity of the allergies. But call 800-810-4441 during regular business hours and ask for Steve. I tend to handle these specific cases personally. And like I say, we don't want to hold out a false hope, but we have been able to help many, many families just by the choice of the combination of foods that they work with and the things that we know that can be done. But the rest of you, for general information and for a packet, if you're not computer savvy, that has some of the seminars where I get up and rant and rave and make a fool of myself and all that kind of good stuff, call 800-409-5633, and the gals will be happy to send you out a packet that has pricing and a lot of warnings. Right now, there are a lot of opportunists that are hopping on the bandwagon supplying food. They usually refer to themselves as food storage organizations. We refer to this as food supplies. They will usually do various interesting things, like put a lot of fillers in their supplies, and also it's extremely difficult to find out when their stuff was packed. There are millions of dollars worth of these foods that are old, left over from 1999, the Y2K experience, that are now being recanned by unscrupulous people. And so, if nothing else, please get up on our website, efoodsdirect.com, and proceed to get the warnings and things. But if you call 800-409-5633, that will get you a bunch of information, too.
Steve, there's probably 20 more questions here, and we didn't even answer all of Chris's. And one of them was how to get started in the business. We got about a minute left, and so we can think about next time you're on. Here are some of the questions. Need special facilities to store anything? People rotate the food that they have. Is there a clearinghouse or list somewhere that identifies the rip-off companies?
Sherry?
Oh, sorry. What?
If you would forward those questions to me at efoodsdirect.com,
uh-huh.
Just forward them to Steve at efoodsdirect.com. We'll answer them.
That's great. And why don't we just have you back?
We can do that, too.
Okay. We're out of time, folks. This has been good. There's a lot of interest in it. Thank you, listeners, for being with us, and we'll be with you next Sunday again.
Thank you much.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.